Aloha.
I don't want your life.
Hello and welcome. We are back from the BallerLifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. Thank you very much for joining the show. Episode number 399, nearly 400. So close to 400. We've been at this a minute. It's exciting. If you are not already, you should subscribe to our bonus content. That way you get the whole show. You get it the night before it comes out. You get it without commercials. And you get all of the bonus stories that we talk about. Take, for instance, I'm just going to look right now. I haven't even looked yet. What's happening this? Oh, Kid Rock's made the news. I like Kid Rock. I don't agree with him 100% or 0%. But, I mean, I like that he's like a man of the people that grew up rich with his dad owning car dealerships. Like, that's, you know, he's just regular salt of the earth dude. We're going to talk about him. And plus, his music sucks. I saw this yesterday. Some fucking armored car driver is one of the most dangerous jobs in America. And you know those guys barely make minimum wage, right? And they have to carry a gun. So I don't even know the story. We're going to find out. And if you subscribe to our bonus content, you'll find out with me. But there was an armored car driver apparently was over it. So he just stopped in the middle of the freeway and literally threw all the money onto the road and left. And people were just pulled over, scooping up ones. And it was like a lot of money. There was money everywhere. We're going to talk about that. And you can only hear us talk about that stuff if you're subscribed to the whole show, including the bonus content. And you can do that in the show notes right now. Just click, open the app that you're listening on, click the link there. You can subscribe there. It's $5 a month, or you can go to theballerlifestyle.com and click the link at the top of the page, or you can go to my Twitter. There's a pinned tweet there where you can click the link and join our bonus content. Additionally, if you would like to reach out and become someone that we converse with, you can do that here. You can send us an email, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com, or you can call us and leave us a voicemail, 949-464-TBLS. 8257 is the number. Love getting new blood in both of those places. And one more thing, I'm doing it's bachelor season. The Bachelorette is on. I'm doing my bachelor show, The Bachelor Lifestyle. You can find that at theballerlifestyle.com or anywhere you get podcasts. The Bachelor Lifestyle, hosted by me and Jason Stewart. If you are into The Bachelor, or if you're not, most of our listeners do not even watch The Bachelor. And I would not recommend that you do. It's an awful show, and we discuss it there at The Bachelor Lifestyle. Here we discuss all sorts of stuff. I don't do that alone. I do that with my main man, Ed Daly. Ed, how are you, buddy?
Doing well. I'm enjoying some tea from my Mr. Rogers teacup.
Oh, that's very nice. I think I've asked you this before, if you have the electric kettle, but I think you're analog. You just boil that shit right there on the stove, right?
Yeah, if I remember asking you, because I'd heard of it, and I was like, does it get to boiling like super fast? And you said
it's not that much faster. No, it's not that much. It is faster, but it's not that much faster.
I don't need another contraption in my house that
I know
isn't really helping so much. You know, I'm not like one of these people that I've got this ritual. I just, you know, the way to boil water faster is to not put too much water. I know how much water I need to put in there.
Yes,
to fill up a cup, and then you can boil pretty fast.
That's smart. What about that whole cold water boils faster bullshit? Have we debunked that yet?
So I'm pretty sure that's bullshit. It's just you're not supposed to drink warm water because that's water sitting in your
botulism.
Water heater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think they would like say stuff like that to make you. But I think it's probably bullshit.
It's like the whole wait 20 minutes to go swimming bullshit.
Right.
We were just fed lies as children.
As a lifeguard at a country club pool, yeah, lots of annoying kids heard the rules. Hey,
that's good,
buddy. I'm looking out for your safety.
That's right.
like they're going to go under it. In a pool with three lifeguards right in front of them. There's like six kids in the pool.
I just saw you eating that hot dog, Timmy. Back onto the Chase Lounge for 20 more minutes, pal.
Don't lie to me, Timmy. I saw you eating French fries.
I've just picked up my phone and I just saw, I don't know the character's name. I know he was Dawson and he was also the I don't want your life guy.
The Beak. Vanderbeek.
The Beak. He just had his sixth fucking kid.
Whoa.
And he didn't have it in the cool way like Nick Cannon, who's fucking rocking and firing left and right. In
three and a half years.
Yeah. And he's a real man. So he's just fucking pumping live rounds into every chick he runs into. No, James Vanderbeek's had them all with the same woman, his wife. She's a fucking broodmare. Like, how many kids you need, guy? It's too many.
That's a lot.
No, it's too many.
Dare I say too many.
Three is too many. Three, like if you have three, I'm not like super judging you, but I feel kind of sorry for you. If you got four, you're a crazy person. What are you doing? If you got six, you're insane. You should be put somewhere. You should be put somewhere because you're a danger to the planet and to yourself. Vanderbeek.
It's nuts that I understand the love kids bring you and, you know, wanting to love more people.
Nah.
But I'm just
saying,
how much
love you got? Not enough.
After two, I was out of gas for parenting.
No.
Like, I have a 2-year gap between my boys.
Same.
And the second kid, when I had to start getting up in the middle of the night again, I was like, oh my God, we're back here again.
I know.
I made that appointment right away to get snipped. I couldn't do it.
It's exponentially more difficult. And you just said something that I had an awakening the other day. You just said they're 2 years apart. People, I had just recently, like, it seemed like a lot of people have been asking me how old my kids are. This is just like a couple weeks ago. And I go, oh, one's 16, another one's 13, 16, 13, 16, 13. I've been saying that. And then I was driving the other day and it was just me and the younger one in the car. And I was driving and it was just quiet in the car. And I go, hey, you're 14, aren't you? And she's like, yeah, I'm 14. I've been telling people she's 13. She's been 14 for months now. I've still been saying 13. Imagine if there were four more of them. Impossible. Yeah, can't be done.
It would be like that scene on Hard Knocks where they ask Cromartie to name his kids.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
A lot to keep track of.
And that's when he had three 3-year-olds. And that was still much cooler than the way that the Beak has done it. The Beak disgusts me. Antonio Cromartie, very cool.
Vanderbeek, I didn't watch that show.
No, of course not.
Michelle watched it. But I watched part of an episode when I was doing a little research for my book.
That'd be horrible.
And I guess this was like at the end, they all move out and it's like following their lives somewhere else, but they're not in high school.
Oh, it's like when the 90210 goes to California U.
Right. But they all stayed locally.
Yeah.
And he's dating like a Hollywood person, like a Hollywood actress, like the hot actress. And it's him. And it's like, come on. I mean, why not just have him sprout wings and fight crime? Like, it's no longer a realistic show.
He's from the Outer Banks. Yeah, he's from the Outer Banks. And we're supposed to believe that he meets Cheryl Teagues. Come on. The fuck out of here. But I mean, ridiculous, have him date a hot Outer Banks chick. You know, like what's going on?
I have a question for you because it's just constantly in the news. I'm getting so many Pete Davidson updates.
That's a lot.
Is it because the Kardashian machine is part of it now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was just scrolling my feed and it was like, here's Pete Davidson's two deal breakers at a restaurant. And it's like, who's asking these questions?
No one. He's reached Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Pete Davidson has these three comfort foods that he loves on a Friday night. What are we doing? I don't care about Pete Davidson's comfort foods.
Like he eats. I mean, I'm not buying it. I will say this. I do get a lot of Pete Davidson. And look, I'm jealous of him for a couple reasons. He's got a big ass dick and he has a lot of sex. And that's great. But he doesn't bother me. Like, I'm not interested in him. I don't really care. I didn't watch his movie. It doesn't affect me at all. Whereas I see a Lin-Manuel Miranda or a James Corden. And
Corden bothers me on a different level than Miranda even.
And they take themselves so seriously. Like Pete Davidson, he seems just as confused about it as we are. He's like, I got a big dick. I fuck a lot. I don't know why they take pictures of me. I got bad tattoos. Like he seems as surprised as we are. Whereas Corden and Lin-Manuel Miranda, they're like, hey, I'm right where I need to be in your fucking face. I'm going to get everybody Google Glass, and the Google Glass is just going to be fucking images of me blasted into your fucking eyeballs like Clockwork Orange. Like that's my level. That's where I belong. Whereas Pete Davidson's like, fuck, fine. I'm here.
I actually read a tweet this weekend by a kind of a working New York comic that I follow. And he
former the guest of the show, Ted Alexandro.
Not him, but I bet he has a take too, of a similar level. Yeah. And he said, what people aren't getting is Pete Davidson is like real nice, friendly, normal seeming guy when you're out of the club with him. And he's like, he somehow found himself in this world where he's plugged into Beckinsale and Ariana Grande. Kardashian. And he's like, they have never met a Pete Davidson. They're never around a nice, normal guy.
That makes a lot of sense. And so
he's like, just celebrate that this is just a nice guy surviving in a world. This is like, you know, Can't Buy Me Love type. Like, this is just, he's a nice guy, and they don't meet normal people. They don't meet like regular kind of nice people.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because they're dating actors and musicians who are narcissists. Like there's a reason that they're that successful is they're very focused on themselves. And so when they come across a regular dude, that's, you know, supposedly well put together, it's probably very refreshing, and it takes them a while to realize that they probably don't have that much in common. But he's an easy hang.
Yeah. You know, that was just the first take on all this. Cause everybody's like, well, what's going on? And that to me makes the most sense.
Yeah, no, it does. Definitely. I'm with you there. More power to him. Okay. Anything else?
Nope.
Sports.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my crew rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I'm my own Troy on DVD.
Ed, what is going on in the world of sports?
Well, I've got a breaking one. We've got two sports RIPs. The breaking one just happened later this afternoon. The news came out. Legendary Soup Strainer, relief pitcher Doug Jones. I think he was 64.
That's too young.
Yeah. You remember him, right?
Yeah,
big ass mustache.
He was an Oriole, was he not?
He was an Oriole. I think he was in Indiana a couple times. He was an Astro, I believe.
All right, Pete, Doug Jones. Very Doug sad. Jones. Too young.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at a picture of him wearing blades and a big old mustache in the Houston Astros
God
hat.
Damn, what a look. What a fantastic great look. Look.
Great look.
Yes.
Also, RIP former Raiders fullback Steve Smith. He had ALS for a while. He was on like a few Real Sports updates on him, but it was sad.
That was like he was on Real Sports like 10 years ago, and he was not. I don't think he was like verbal. I think he was in his early 40s and was like, he hadn't been out of the league that long and he was in bad shape. His poor wife had to take care of him. That is just a fucking
brutal,
awful disease that I personally would not wish on my worst enemy. It is just, and I went to a football game last night and one of the guys on the Steelers running back got put to sleep on a play, and it's hard not to think about the effects that these concussions have on guys. And I don't know what the answer is, because, you know, we have this sort of bloodlust, and well, it's not even that. We just love football. People, this country loves football.
But it is our gladiator fighting. We still enjoy that. I love football, but I recognize this is it's rough. But he was 57.
It seems to disproportionately affect fullbacks and linebackers, which is, you know, anyway, RIP Steve Smith.
Rest in peace, the ballers hope you rest in peace. You won't laugh no more, you won't smile no more, you won't laugh no more, and you won't fuck no more.
Whoa.
So immediately to the party line, we hope you rest in peace.
Yes, definitely, absolutely. Rest in peace.
Touching.
Just a moment. Just a moment.
This is going to be the single longest story I have ever read.
Yeah.
But it's worth exploring.
Really is. Speaking of people that may be affected by CTE.
So last night, everybody, if you follow sports, you know LeBron James got into a fight last night. And LeBron James clubbed the Pistons' Isaiah Stewart in the face during the game on Sunday. And then blood is dripping down Stewart's face, and he charged after LeBron. And you know what's amazing is he went after him, and like there was, you know, craziness, melee. They didn't go into the stands like the Mouse in the Palace, but this would have been like 10 and 20 game suspension possibilities because LeBron was involved. They're like, LeBron, you get one game, and I guess we'll give Stewart two games.
Did the suspensions come down?
That's what they got, games, which that would never happen if it wasn't LeBron.
LeBron is playing the Knicks. He got suspended.
So when this was happening, I go, as long as he's suspended for Tuesday night's game, I'm okay with it.
Oh, because but you might want to watch. I mean, the Lakers are bad.
I want a W in the worst way. Knicks are struggling these days. They're like around 500. I need the Lakers.
I didn't know. Should I know who Isaiah Stewart is?
I think Isaiah Stewart, you know how like University of Washington is good like once a decade?
Yeah.
Brandon Roy, they had, you know, like, so I think Isaiah Stewart, I believe, was like a big man on them 5 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And he was like on a good team, but like not superstar. Yeah. And then I guess he's just, you know, a guy in the league. The Pistons aren't a very good team, but, you know, he got fucking clobbered.
Why do we know why LeBron? I'm just watching it for the first time. His eyes all bloody. Why doesn't LeBron like him? Do we know?
You never know what goes on 12 plays before that. You know, who knows?
Yeah. Or, you know, it could be something outside of the arena. Could be.
You
know, that wouldn't be the first time.
A crime of passion.
Yes, exactly.
So ex-NBA player Agent Zero, Gilbert Arenas, shared some thoughts for Stewart on Instagram. Now, I'm going to do my best to read this.
Yeah,
it's long, but well, it's
there's emojis.
Work.
You have a hard time with emojis.
So you're going to have to follow along and tell me the emojis, because it all, okay, to me looks like laughing. And why is like sometimes the head tilted one way and sometimes another?
That's like an extra hard laugh, the one with the tilted.
Oh, okay.
You're really laughing. You're laughing your ass off so hard, your head tilts to the side.
Okay, so I'll do my best with the emojis, but you might have to step in.
Okay.
Hey, brother. I'm going to just be real with you here. And that, what is that, a blue head?
That's like the silhouette of the head, but with like the words. It's just the one head silhouette, and it's like you could tell words are coming out of its mouth. I'm not really sure what that one means, to be honest.
Well,
if people do know, mailbag at theballerlifestyle.com or 949-464-TBLS. Let's not forget, Ed, we had somebody call in and explain to us that we missed the entire turning point of Scarface.
We were so consumed with the bad accents, we didn't realize that we missed the key scene of the whole movie.
Yes. So if somebody wants to, if we get this wrong, our interpretation of this is wrong, please correct us via the ways you have to reach out.
All right. So he's about to get real with you. Pack all shit. Pack your winter jackets and boots, because your ass is about to be traded to Budapest somewhere. And then three laughing emojis.
Yeah, he loves that.
I don't know what kind of bumba clot blood got in your eye, but you can't charge at the hashtag king like that on TV. 100. Yeah. You will be drug tested. Hashtag TI voice. Expeditiously.
Oh, so does T.I. say expeditiously like in a song, or just like it means more with the T.I. voice, I think is what he's saying.
I think so, but yeah. I could be off. Then this is like a tilted laughing face.
Yeah, he's really laughing because he cracked himself up.
Just to make sure that rage ain't drug related. We don't do that in the NBA. You probably haven't read the memo on fight attempts in the NBA. Number one. Don't square up with King James or Easy Money Sniper ever. 100. I think that's probably Durant, Easy Money Sniper.
No, I'm going to say is that him talking to him directly? Isaiah?
He's talking to Stewart directly, saying don't ever. He's saying you can't fight these guys.
Okay, yeah.
So hold sniper, on. I'm thinking the best shooters that aren't the next two guys listed.
Yeah.
So he says, all right, so number one, never go after James, and I'm guessing Durant, ever.
I'm Googling it, and for some reason the page just won't load.
Number two.
I'm doing a podcast.
Number two, them two light-skinned boys, at Stephen Curry, 30, and at Klay Thompson on Golden State.
I feel like that's a real dig in the, and I can't say that I know what that means in the black community, but it seems like Gilbert Arenas, being a darker complected person, he's taking a shot at those guys for being lighter skinned than him.
Yeah. I mean, he's saying that the golden children of the NBA, these four guys, you're not going to do it. Don't let your chest get puffy towards them, or your ass is done. And is that a halo?
You were right about Kevin Durant. That is Kevin Durant. Yeah. Or your ass is done. Yeah, like halo, like be on your best behavior. Yep.
Number three, only two teams that's allowed to fist fight without any real penalties is wherever Rajon Rondo and CP3 at.
Yeah, that's good. Those guys
laughing
much. Yeah.
And I think Chris Paul is one of those beloved by announcers, but I think everybody kind of finds him to be a dick.
Yeah, everybody hates him. Did he not? He's on the
Suns.
He's on the Suns, but he's like the president of Players Association or something. I don't know.
Maybe.
He takes himself real seriously, and he's made like more money than anybody in the history of the league.
Yeah, and I don't think he's liked. But no, number four. Wait till your teammates get around you then act tough for the crowd. Sell it like WWE. And that's like the OK symbol and the prayer symbol.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Thanks. That's it. Good luck moving forward, my man. And then is that a wink? What's he going? What's gone?
No, that's the kind of, oh boy.
Sleepy?
Yeah, like looking down, you know, like humble.
P.S. This was worse than the gun in the locker room situation.
I would say it's not. Definitely not. It's Gilbert. Not.
Yeah. Laughing emoji. Some can say this was # attempted murder. Halo. Yeah. And then the gritting teeth emoji.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's only exactly thing that can save you right now is MJ dropping episode 11 of The Last Dance and he edits all Scottie Pippen scenes out. Or Vanessa Bryant dropping # the Mamba last season, 100, prayer, Halo. If you think I'm bullshitting, ask Enes Kanter. He got too close to the king back in 2016 and 17, and the Turkish president been trying to catch his ass ever since.
Now there's, first of all, this is, what's great about this is that there's literally no punctuation in it. And but also he's right.
The emojis are the punctuation.
Yeah, the emojis are the punctuation. Now, one thing I need somebody, and we might need the listener's help with this, because he says the only thing that can save you right now is MJ dropping episode 11 of The Last Dance, and he edits all Scottie Pippen scenes out. Well, we know what that means, because MJ did Scottie dirty, and now Scottie's written a book, and he's doing an anti-MJ tour, and I'm waiting for him to tell the story that's long been rumored about how MJ was jealous that Scottie Pippen got to bang Madonna because Scottie's got a huge dong. And that was one thing that MJ never had on Scottie that drove him crazy. I wonder if that's in the book. But then he says one more thing. He goes, or Vanessa Bryant dropping the Mamba last season. Is she saying is he saying she had Kobe Bryant murdered? Or Vanessa Bryant dropping the Mamba last season, period. Wait, was there a The Mamba movie? No. This is just, he's talking about when Kobe died. Do you read it like that? Now, if you go back and look at it that way, now, Ed, with a period at the end?
Yeah. Now that you say it, it does seem like that's where.
Did she have him killed?
She pulled a Queen Elizabeth on Diana.
Well, was the chopper being chased by paparazzi? Do you think she called over to the chopper company and was like, "Hey, you better fuck. I know the weather's bad today, but
take off anyway."
Kobe's now that's fucked up because her daughter. That can't be possible.
Of course,
her daughter.
That wouldn't. There's no chance that's true. But I mean, what is he talking about?
I don't know. Not sure. I do like that brings up Enes Kanter. That's good.
There's a modicum of truth to what he's saying in that it guys get blackballed, and conversely, some guys get carried through their careers because they have a good relationship with someone. Yes,
it's true. Like
Jack Haley was not an NBA Jack player. Haley.
Yes, but
he's not an NBA player, but he got along with the right people and he stayed.
Back then, you didn't have to be. Every team had that one white guy that was the 12th man on the roster that just, whether it was John Konkak, Chuck Nevitt.
Paul McCaskey.
Jack Haley. There was always one guy on every team that if there was a blowout one way or the other and you needed a third string center, you would bring that guy in and he would play like a few times a season. And now they realize, hey, these roster spots are important. We got to have guys that can play down the whole bench. We can't have guys that just don't play.
Somebody was smart enough to think, you know what? We could actually use a guy that we could develop into somebody special.
Exactly.
You know, at the start of his career, there's so many guys now that didn't break out for a few seasons. Like, you know, exactly. even Kawhi wasn't the superstar at first. I mean, he started off pretty high, but I'm just saying there are so many guys that like it took them a few years to become stars.
Totally. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Take Cornelius Young or Sebastian Telfair, for example. Oh, that's those Bassy. Are good examples.
Yeah. Bassy. Yeah. He's finding out how to get the right lawyer to fight.
Yeah, he's about the to league, do some right? time. Yeah.
Well, a lot to Gilbert Arenas gave us a lot to think about.
I know. Hey, I think he might have a podcast. Might be worth a listen. Maybe he explains this a little better.
And by the way, I love Enos Kanter.
Me too.
I think that dude, he's not speaking his mind in a loudmouth way. He's speaking it like things he cares about, he's caring about.
Good for him.
And he actually was a entertaining player. He did like 6 months on the Knicks, and like the guy's a lunch pail rebound putback guy. He's good.
No, you need a guy like that. That's a good guy to have on your team. Every team needs one of those.
A guy that's talented, but I don't know what team he's going to be playing for. Trevor Bauer.
I'm thinking Kareem. He fired off
a tweet right after the Rittenhouse acquittal, blaming the media for not having all their facts, and people weren't too pleased with him.
Well, I mean, you don't. However, whatever situation you're in, you don't want the guy that's accused of playing speed bag with a woman's lower regions as the guy that defends you. You know, you're just kind of like, hey, buddy, I don't need an accused sexual assaulter on my side for this one. Maybe you sit this one out. And also, as a guy that could be facing charges, do you think Trevor Bauer's attorneys are like, hey, yeah, go ahead and tweet. Do some tweets, buddy.
Yeah. Why don't you pour yourself a tall glass and shut the fuck up,
Trevor? Exactly. Shut the fuck up. Hope that Korean baseball is going to give you a shot, or like, you know, the Royals. Because it's not going to be, you know, your career's over, buddy. You were the best in the league. You won the Cy Young Award. And you've played yourself right out of the game, because guess what? You hate women. And something tells me that Mrs. Bauer has some explaining to do, because nobody that has a good relationship with their mother treats women this way. Bottom line.
So much has been said about the Rittenhouse case and acquittal. So, I think you can guess where I felt about the whole thing.
I'd prefer not to discuss it. Yeah.
But my whole thing was the glee that some people had. It's like, this was a sad situation no matter what.
All the way around. It's a sad situation.
The glee. Glee. It's weird.
Yeah. It's not, it's not, no matter what side you stand on, it's not something to be celebrated.
Right. Yeah. Baker Mayfield's wife, Emily, shared an Instagram post saying his teammates should get tougher. How do you think that's going to endear him with the locker room?
Yeah. Again, this is like Trevor Bauer having a Twitter. You know, you got to keep Baker. I like Baker. He's a good dancer.
Seems affable enough.
Yeah, he seems like a nice guy. He's 5'9", but he's out there playing QB. He's from Texas. His name's Baker. Save some last names for the rest of us. But you gotta be like, sweetheart, you know, we got the big house. You get to do whatever you want. You go away with your friends in the off season. We'll go to the Bahamas. You got a lifestyle. There's only one thing that's required of you, and that's don't embarrass me.
Don't fuck it up for me with my teammates.
Yes. Yeah. Now he's got to buy everybody Rolexes or whatever.
Yeah.
He's hurt, right? Mayfield doesn't play. He's injured.
I think there's been injuries, but also struggling this year. I mean, they were expected to have a much better year.
They went to the AFC Championship game last year. I'm fucking tuned into football.
I feel the same way about parents of athletes.
Yeah, shut up.
Like, how many times do we get, oh, so-and-so's dad said this. Oh, they're not, or Odell Beckham's dad is doing screenshots of where the team has failed him. It's like, are you kidding me? Just shut the fuck up.
Odell Senior.
Yeah.
Like, shut up. You know, hey, you know what? I went to that Chargers Pittsburgh game last night, and the Chargers have an Asante Samuel Jr.
I know, it's crazy.
Doesn't Asante Samuel still play?
Is he the one married to actress?
I know, we gotta do a deep dive. No, you're thinking of Nnamdi Asamoah.
Asamoah. Yeah.
Asante Samuel. He was born 1981. He's got a fucking son in the league.
He's 40.
He's 40 years old. He's let's see. When did he retire?
When you see senior day at some of these schools, you see some older kids showing up with their.
He's from Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
You go to BYU senior day, you see that? Yeah. And they have like teenagers with them.
Yeah. He retired in 2013, so 8 years ago. Wow. That's not that long. And now he's got a junior getting burned out there on an island for the Chargers. He might need to take some lessons from his dad.
Samuel could play some defense, but not when it came to sex in high school. He wasn't playing defense then.
He didn't defend his own borders.
Speaking of sex, Mike Tyson, quote, needed to have sex in the dressing room before fights, said long-term bodyguard. He said it helped him from killing his opponent.
So it's kind of the opposite, because remember in high school football, the coaches would be like, hey, no jacking off. No having sex with your girlfriend and no jacking off, because it weakens the legs.
Yeah, that was what Mickey said to Rocky. Women weaken legs.
Yes. Yeah. It's no. We see. I'm of two minds here. Because on the one hand, I do think this is kind of like, don't go swimming for 20 minutes. But also, I mean, after a particularly aggressive session, I do notice not a lot of strength in my legs.
I'm not about to go out there and shadow box after session.
No. But like,
I think the night before bullshit.
Yes.
Like, that's horseshit. You sleep and then you wake up.
Yeah.
But right before the fight? No, Jesus, Mike.
But he's doing it the opposite direction, where he's like, if I go out there, I might kill Carl the Truth Williams.
Yeah.
Like,
take the edge off, or I might murder Pinklin Thomas.
Yeah. I don't want Mitch Blood Green's blood on my hands. Like, he could die. So let me get my nut here, and then I'll just kick his ass enough to give him CTE, right. Not actually like Boom Boom Mancini his ass. Oh.
Yeah. I mean, let me knock boots, or Razor Ruddock is losing a vertebrae.
I get it. You know, Mike was a fucking force of nature.
Oh man. For a few years there, when he came on the scene, it was so exciting, and the fights lasted less than a minute.
Yeah. He's not to keep going back to this, but he was at the game I was at last night, and they showed him on the big screen, and there's no one more beloved than Mike Tyson.
It's funny. Yeah. It's funny how that narrative switched. Yeah. He was, I don't know, because so many middle school boys loved him so much.
Yeah.
Yep. And now those middle school boys are in their 40s.
Totally. And, absolutely.
You know, social media is not the only way that NFL wives can be undone.
Oh, interesting. Tell me more.
For Kelly Stafford, Matthew Stafford's wife, a pretzel was her undoing. She threw a pretzel at a 49ers fan and has since apologized for it.
I mean, so this one, like Emily Mayfield, she did this of her own volition. Yeah, she's frustrated. And I believe that Matt Stafford's wife has also, in Detroit, was also a tweeter, or she did something in defense of her husband. Oh,
No, she was really mad about COVID restrictions. She was calling Michigan's governor out and stuff. She got very mouthy right at the end there.
All right. But in this case, she was being heckled. She was just watching the game. The Rams were getting their lunch ate by the Niners up right in the Yay area. And some fan thought it would be fun. He recognized that it was the quarterback's wife for some reason. Red flag number one. Like what professional athletes, unless they're also famous individually, how are you going to know a quarterback's wife? But then this guy's heckling her and she lashes out and she wings her $12 pretzel at the guy. I mean, I think she's justified here. Like she apologized. I get that, you know, you're supposed to have a certain level of decorum as a known person's wife, but also like shut the fuck up and leave these people alone. Like, who the fuck are you that you think you get to yell at somebody because you know who they are?
I've long been a proponent that players should be allowed to go in the stands and just punch somebody square in the face.
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford is a brick shit house.
Yeah.
Of a man. He's a big and guy. If a guy is harassing his wife, I think after the game, it should be like, hey, Matthew, this guy was really giving your wife shit. So have at him.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% agree. It's bullshit. And clip that guy's ticket, much like the guy from the Malice at the Palace or the guy that fucking spit on Russell Westbrook last year.
Right. Right.
Cut their fucking ticket and you're not allowed at the game anymore. You can't come back. They got facial recognition now. We can track people.
They know who everybody is.
They know who you are. Everybody. You're not allowed to come back. You don't know how to fucking control yourself. Be a human being on this planet, fuckface. You like a fucking football team? Look, that's bad enough. But then you're gonna take your like of a football team and you're gonna verbally assault another human being that you don't even fucking know? Go fuck yourself. I support Mrs. Stafford.
The Chicago Bulls are off to a hot start. They got some big additions in the offseason. They're Caruso. Big three.
Yep.
DeMar DeRozan, Lonzo Ball, and Zach LaVine.
Yeah, two Bruins.
And they've got a new nickname. Oh, Da Ball Zach.
Wow. Da Ball Zach. DeRozan, Lonzo Ball, and Zach LaVine. I love it. Da Ball Zach. That's pretty sweet.
I mean, the Bulls can forever go fuck themselves because of Michael Jordan.
I like the Bulls.
Awful. Awful. And they beat the Knicks last night, which I'm not too happy about. Well,
that's just one of those things. It's like the sun rising in the east.
No, the Knicks were the four seed last year, and they're a playoff team this year. But DeRozan is really underrated. Dude has had a long career at this point.
Yeah, he can score.
He's very crafty. It's not like he's just a shooter. Like he's not a shooter. The guy can fill up the stat sheet. He's a good player.
Yeah, absolutely. All those guys are good. Lonzo Ball, he can all of a sudden he can shoot, you know, but
right.
he was shooting a fucking chest shot for his first 5 years in the league, and now he's fucking a sniper from outside. Lakers could use a guy like that.
So going from good players to scary situation, NBA, this whole triad is always bad news. Derek Fisher's wife, Gloria Govan, threatens to beat up her ex-husband Matt Barnes's girlfriend, Anansa Sims, for celebrating her son's birthday. This Gloria Govan, Matt Barnes, Derek Fisher triangle is a nightmare.
I'm not positive, but I believe Gloria Govan is also the ex-wife of the previously mentioned on this episode, Gilbert Arenas.
Wow.
And I don't know if you remember, but when they were first broken up, I'm Googling her right now. Let's get on the wiki and let's get this. Yeah. Well, oh no, hold on. I know somehow she doesn't have a wiki. I know. Oh, they're married now. Derek Fisher and Gloria Govan are married.
He essentially got fired early. He was like the Knicks coach for less than a month or something. It wasn't long. And right. he missed a Knicks game because he had to go fight Barnes in California. And they're like, okay, this isn't working out.
That was
a while ago.
And well, Phil Jackson hired him. And if there's a bigger fugazi in the history of sports than Phil Jackson, I would like to be shown him. Maybe Joe Torre. I put Joe Torre.
It's and the Phil Jackson offense. Same.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan.
Basketball. Yeah.
It's not Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Shaq. Pau Gasol. It's the triangle that did it.
Yeah, this Phil Jackson, his whole fucking claim to fame was first having Michael Jordan, second having Shaquille O'Neal, third having Kobe Bryant. And then they'd be like, oh, Phil Jackson, he's the Zen master. He doesn't call he gives time them out. Books. Yeah,
oh, he gives them. It must have been that copy of Tom Sawyer that made Kobe drop 45.
Worse, he gives them Malcolm Gladwell books, and then he goes, and then they go, oh, fucking Pacers are on a 20-point run. Only way to stop this momentum is to call timeout. And then Phil Jackson would sit on his ass in his special chair, and he'd be like, calling timeout. Ooh, he doesn't call timeout. You're supposed to call timeout, but he doesn't call timeout. Ooh, so zen.
He empowers them to learn their way through it.
Then what happens? They give him a job where he gets to pick the players and the coach. Holy shit. What a mess.
He was so bad.
And also he's like, how about we write it into my contract that I don't have to come? Oh, what? Where's my job? Oh, no. He was working from home fucking 10 years before COVID. He had his own work from home thing in Montana when he was supposed to be running the Knicks.
The NBA what draft combine. He was the only GM to not go.
Yeah,
when you're supposed insane. To be checking out the players. I'm gonna go on vacation with a record producer instead.
Jerry West, when he was running the Lakers, he'd be like, it'd be like mid season, and he'd jump on a plane and fly to like Lithuania.
Yep.
To watch a guy play, because he's like, oh, I'm not gonna have a high draft pick. I got to be able to find a guy who can play later in the draft. So I got to go look at these guys. Fuck Phil Jackson. He's just like Joe Torre, just a total fugazi, rode on the backs of these guys. It's bullshit. Okay, so I misspoke. Gilbert Arenas was married to Gloria Govan's sister, Laura.
That family.
Yeah, it's a whole situation. But I do remember that immediately, and this is what you were talking about, just after the breakup of Matt Barnes, Bruin, and Gloria Govan, Matt Barnes busted in to his own house where Gloria was having a party for their kids, and Derek Fisher, who was Sancho in his ass, he had to hide out because Matt Barnes, who is
scary
nuts,
dude.
Yeah, he got the neck tattoos and shit. He was like one of the first ones to have the neck tattoos.
Yeah, he was, you know, everybody has tattoos in the NBA. Yeah. He was the first guy that was really out there.
He went deep. So I don't look, if I'm Derek Fisher, I'm watching my back. And this Gloria Govan, I mean, I'm seeing a pattern here. Like she appears to like the drama.
Yes, she does.
She seems to enjoy this type of being fought over by these men. And it's, you know, probably not a bad deal for her. What else?
Finally, in sports, welfare queen Brett Favre missed the deadline to pay back $228,000 he scammed from the Mississippi welfare system.
I mean, he's just out there on his tractor.
The big fear out there. It's the welfare queen. The people who are living high off the government. It's the people who are costing the most money are fucking rich assholes like Brett Favre.
Of course. Yes. And he's got the money.
He does. He does all those shitty ads.
Yeah.
He does. He's a terrible
Wrangler.
Dude.
He does Wrangler. He does some other tractor shit. Like, pay your fucking PPP loans back, buddy. You got caught.
Stop sending your dick to people who didn't ask for it.
Yeah. Also that. Okay. Let's do some emails and voicemails.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great.
He's such a stupid fuck.
He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying
him. He's so annoying.
Plus so fucking boring and worthless, but he's got nothing else to do.
And he's even worse than ish, 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 ish.
I feel like we haven't heard from old Manuel in a while.
We have not.
Been a few weeks. Hope everything's okay. Hope it's not an ish situation.
No, he would never do that.
No. He's no. You know,
Manuel's our guy.
I love Manuel. You know the thing about Manuel that's great is I'm not 100% convinced he's ever listened to this show. I don't like he just comes in and like says his thing. And then he moves on. You know, he's calling all the shows on LA radio. He's just kind of doing whatever. He doesn't seem like super familiar with what happens on this show.
You know, sometimes on Stern, they quiz Bobo to see like what he actually knows. Cause he's got a call every day.
Yeah.
And he usually doesn't know that much about what they're talking about on the show.
Yeah.
But what I respect about Manuel is he comes in hot. Sometimes he, you know, talks for a while, but he comes in hot with an opinion, and he has he has thoughts, and we can bounce off of that. I feel like we get lots of good content from Manuel, and I appreciate that very much.
Well, yes, I agree. Definitely. He does. He spurs the conversation. But remember that one time he called in and he was like bacon or sausage, and he had like a bunch of either ors for us. And we're like, oh, that's pretty good. Those are funny. And they're like, they were all pretty good.
Yeah.
And then he never did that again. He just only did it that one time.
But that's the thing. He didn't listen. He just came in.
And we were like, oh, these are good. You know, we should have more of these.
Keep it up.
Like,
keep it up.
And then never. Then the next week, it's like, what's up with these BMW drivers? You know, like, kind of interesting. No voicemails. No voicemails this week, but there are a couple of emails. Hello, Brian and Ed. I am not a fighter. I don't want to be punched. No, nor do I want to hurt my hand punching someone's hard face.
Couldn't agree more.
No, totally. If I ever get in a fight, I'm kicking your knee out of the back of your leg, kicking you in the nuts, or punching you in the throat. I digress. Apparently.
You certainly did.
I was at a club totally fucked up and was dancing on this small elevated platform on the side of the dance floor, getting my grind on. A fight breaks out on the main floor and I just launch off the platform with a Superman punch and drill a dude right in the face.
What?
Bam. No idea why I did it except that I was drunk and high. Little did I know he was a security guard, fucked his nose up. One of his buddies gets me on the floor and is choking the shit out of me. Luckily, another guy was like, stop, he can't breathe. So they kick me out and I am all fired up and think I'm hot shit. I'm sitting at the entrance waiting to see if I could get my friend's attention because he drove. While I'm sitting there, I see a line of dudes heading for me, and I'm just thinking I'm about to get my ass kicked. To my delight, the head bouncer was a roid guy I went to high school with, and he saved my ass. I bolted as soon as he told me to go. I go to another club a couple doors up and close it down, walk out at 3 a.m., and there's my boy Jeff yelling at me, I thought you got arrested, man. God's providence for drunk people knows no bounds. How's that pussy whipped? Hold on. That was just a non sequitur. Like, that was just there's nothing to connect that to anything. He just wanted to tell us a story. Now he moves on. How's that hot pussy whipped guy that ate the dirty ass? I hope he has recovered and is having better days. I think we've all been there. We know you have with your mail order bride from Australia. Whoa, geez, Wayne. Never ate dirty ass, but I was whipped one time. Sucks when a relationship based solely on sex ends. Oh my God. Remind me to start reading these before. Fucking porn gives all skewed view of reality on love. P.S. Another just fucking tangent. The Sicario movies with Benicio del Toro and Josh Brolin are the best action movies. Watched them multiple times, and it just hit me that Josh Brolin was in the Goonies. Yep.
Of course.
Who knew he was a badass? Wayne in Nashville. Wow, Wayne. I need a minute.
That was a ride.
That was a roller coaster.
I enjoyed it. I was there for it.
Yeah. Wayne is our hardest listener, by the way. He's the one that's done time.
Yeah, leave it up to our hardest listener to say, yeah. I'm not much of a fighter, except for the time I flew off a platform and just smashed a dude's face in.
Yeah, because I was drunk and high. I punched the bouncer at the club.
One bouncer gave me advice, and I've never been in a fight since he gave me this advice.
Yeah.
But he said the best way to just have a quick fight, if you don't think you've got it to like really just mix it up, is you overshoot the punch. Right. So your wrist is what connects with the nose, and their nose will explode.
Right. Assuming they don't move their head or put their hand up.
He just said if you've got one punch to get in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Try to overshoot and get that wrist to the nose, because that's way better. Your hand, and it can fuck up your hand. And he's like, your wrist is so much stronger than that dude's nose, and you'll explode their nose.
Oh, that's great. I would say the Sicario movie. Sicario is a very good movie. The second Sicario is kind of bullshit.
It's kind of bullshit. I think it was a decent like airplane movie, but the first Sicario was like legit good.
It's great. It's great. It's so good. And the second one, they just kind of rushed it. They kind of like tried to make him into who's that? Liam Neeson. It's like the Taken. Right. You know, they just made him such a badass. But in the first one, he's fantastic. Okay. And I did not plan this. But the first email
was asking.
Yeah. He's asking about another emailer. The next email. This is the simulation, Ed. The next email is from the guy he was talking about. Hi, Brian and Ed. Kennard here. Just checking in to say happy Thanksgiving to both of you and all Baller Nation. As an update, I have so far managed to stay away from you know who. I don't think I really need to reset for the audience. Just, this guy had a bad relationship.
He had a bad episode with a young lady. And then on top of that, she was bilking him out of money, right?
Yeah. Yeah. She did. She had bad hygiene. And then she gave him COVID via the bad hygiene, and then he had to be intubated. So he nearly died from the COVID he got from a date with this chick. And then while he was recovering from COVID, she basically stole his identity and ran up his credit cards and shit. So that's the update. But she has found out where I live. Oh no. And has come by a couple times when I was not home. Kansas is like that. It's hard to hide. It's because it's so flat.
It's so flat. There's nothing to hide. Yeah. Behind.
What are you gonna get behind a stalk of corn? Like, she's gonna see you. She continues to apologize for the incident and has paid me back for the unauthorized credit card use by mailing a check to me at my address. It contained a long letter with an apology and some very erotic photos. I did not even know Polaroids still existed. However, I just can't erase that night and that event from my memory. Trying to stay strong in a vast wasteland. Loyal listener, current episode, and massive supporter of all you two do. Peace. That is from Kanarden, Kansas. Wow. What a roller coaster.
Really, we've been through a lot with these guys. Kanard, so I understand. And we really can't revisit it. Traumatic, awful incident.
Yes.
Or plural.
Yeah.
Involving hygiene. But those were unintentional, but the fact that she was stealing from you, running off credit card debt, like that, because you could be like, all right, you know, it was a horrible incident for us both, but the credit card theft, that's just straight up like bad shit.
Yeah, you can go to jail for that.
Yeah,
you could have her prosecuted. That's like, that's low. As somebody who's had many, many things stolen from him, see above, see the email above. I can tell you
Silverware.
That there's not really any coming back from that. That's somebody really, and to use a the wrong kind of euphemism, but it works here. That's really somebody showing you their ass, Kanard. Like they're letting you know who they are when they steal your shit. That's all. That tells you how much you mean to them that they steal from you. That said, with her permission, Kanard, why don't you go ahead and send us some screenshots of those Polaroids. First, get it approved. And then, assuming you get the approval, go ahead. You have the email address, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. Share with Ed and I those photos. Because just not for no other reason than we just want to put a face or a whatever's in the pictures.
I actually... If he feels up to it, I'd like to interview her.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah, she wants to come on. Maybe you guys come on. Maybe we do like a Dr. Phil thing with the two of you.
Yes.
Come on together. Because there's a lot to go through. Now, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to do the interview, and we're going to get to the bottom of this. But then certain people in my life are going to listen, and they're going to send me texts and be like, do better, Brian. Oh, you're talking about, you know, potty talk, do better. Well, hey, this is an interesting thing. Like, I'm not soliciting.
I don't want to dwell on the potty talk. I want to dwell on, like, she's trying to get back together with somebody who stole.
But we got, I mean, we got to cover the origins of the relationship, Ed.
And I think we should, we could ask about diet and certain things.
And the COVID, because let's not forget how he got the COVID.
Right.
Which, you know.
Yeah, let's not.
Also, I got to thank my man Kanard. Mm-hmm. He does work. Like, whatever this guy does is effective, because this chick is, she's straight up addicted. She can't quit my man Kanard, and it's got to, Kanard is doing something that makes her like him, like more than, because she could go grift another dude, right? She could. There's other dudes in Kansas, not many, but she could go.
We don't know exactly where in Kansas. There might not be that many dudes.
Are there, how many places are there in Kansas? There's fucking Tulsa.
Lawrence.
There's
Tulsa,
Little Rock, Omaha,
Cleveland.
Yeah, there's Wichita, home of the great.
Right, but I'm saying if you're not
John,
in
you know
Wichita.
Who went to Wichita State? John Riggins.
No, he went to Kansas.
Oh, Kansas. Same difference. You know who went to Wichita State? Darren Dreifert.
There you go.
Yeah, let us know, Kanard. We could do more with this. We could do a whole fucking special episode. I feel like people would be into it.
Well, it's time for non-sports segment on the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Non-sports. I'm talking about the segment now. Non-sports segment.
Ed, what's happening in the world of non-sports?
Couple quick RIPs. 1980s character actor Art LaFleur was 78 years old. He is best known for playing Babe Ruth in The Sandlot, but I don't really know that movie as well as a lot of other people seem to do. But you've seen this guy. He got a lot of work in the 80s. Ton.
Hold on. Let me Google him. RIP.
Art LaFleur. RIP.
Have a chance, but if they were to have any.
Well, hold on. I got one of my windows is open. Wait. Oh, God. Now it's fucking production over here. Hold on.
Rest in peace. The ballers hope you rest in peace.
Oh, I know this guy.
Right. He worked a lot.
Yeah.
You won't smile.
And also, rest in peace, Dan Aykroyd's actor, writer, brother, Peter Aykroyd, 66 years old.
Was that like a Jim Belushi situation?
Yeah, I recognized him. Like, I saw his credits, and he was in Spies Like Us, and he played, like, one of the guys at the CIA who was, like, walking around the office and maybe being dickish to Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah. Art LaFleur's in Cobra.
Yeah, he just worked a ton. You've seen
him. You know, you've seen him in everything. This guy has one of the more recognizable character actor faces that you've ever seen. Like, he would do like the CSIs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
All right. Very sad. Hey fam, there's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show.
Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS.